Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Get out your Bibles. We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. That's Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Here's what it says. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I have a confession to make this morning. I am not perfect. Amen? You know. Yeah, he knows. I'm not perfect by any means. Just because I'm a pastor does not give me some sort of special, miraculous, perfection faith that's better than yours. I don't get it right a lot of the times. Often, when God calls me to do something, or if Pastor Evan assigns a project to me, or if I'm having conversations with Olivia and we kind of decide we need to do something, my first response isn't, "All right, God, how do we do this?" It's, "How do I do this? How am I going to succeed? How am I going to accomplish this calling or this project or this thing that needs to happen? How am I, within my own strength, within my own power, going to win?" I don't always first go to God and say, "How are you going to accomplish this through me?" I think there are times where we do this. Amen? Instead of going to God first, we look at ourselves and wonder, "How am I going to accomplish this thing that you are calling me to, God?" Some of us, maybe we are feeling like God is calling us to be better parents. And so we want to be better parents. We want to make sure that our children are being raised properly, that they're understanding the scriptures. And we're saying, "Okay, I want to be a better parent, but you know what? I've got a really short temper. I work a lot of long hours. I'm not able to invest. How am I going to do this? How am I going to be this better parent, this really great parent, so that my kids don't fail? How am I going to do this?" Maybe we're the type of person who feels called to our community. We see homelessness or we see problems in our community that we really want to help. And God is calling us. "I want you to go and feed the poor and clothe the naked. I want you to go and do those things." And you go, "Okay, God, but I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. How am I going to do this?" Maybe recently God has been calling you to overcome some addiction, alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it might be. And you're like, "Okay, God, you want me to get rid of this thing in my life that is not good for me, So I'm going to take all the necessary steps. I'm going to abstain. I'm going to break off those relationships. I'm going to do all those practical things, but I'm going to do it on my own. How am I going to do this? Because the temptation is still so strong even when I take these steps. Maybe you're someone who wants to see your loved ones or just the lost in general be saved. And you are emboldened to share your faith. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to preach the word and I'm going to share my faith with so much vigor and passion that everyone's going to be saved. And you get out there and you start doing that and it's hard and it's difficult and nothing's really happening and you're like, gee, how am I going to do this? How am I going to save these people if they're not listening to me? Maybe you just want to see brokenness be healed in your own life. And you're doing all the self-help stuff, and you're trying really hard, and it's not working, and you're like, why am I not healed yet? How am I going to heal myself? When we look at this story of the feeding of the 5,000, we see very clearly that the disciples make the exact same mistake. Jesus says to them, we need to feed these people. And so what the disciples do is they look at themselves and they start doing calculations and they start using logic and they're just like, we can't do it. How are we going to do this? The disciples had already seen Jesus perform miracles, so we can't really give them a pass. They've seen him heal the sick, heal the blind, walk on water, all these different things. Why is their instinct not, well, Jesus, you could do it? Their instinct is, well, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not possible. We can't do this. How are we going to do this? And so the disciples just didn't see that it was possible. They assumed they had to do it on their own. And so they start trying to think up these ways and they realize, no, it's not possible. But then later, Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and what does he do? He multiplies it. He feeds them. He says, here you go, miracle done. Jesus never intended for the disciples to do it on their own, though. Let me ask you a really interesting question. Who fed the crowd that day, Jesus or the disciples? Was it Jesus? I'm going to say it was both. You see, here's the thing, is that Jesus did the miracle. He multiplied the fish and loaves, but who distributed it that day? Read the text. Who distributed the loaves and fish to the crowd? Come on, let me hear it. The disciples, right? It's not us on our own. It's not God on his own. It's God and us together. We're not supposed to do it alone. Jesus does the work through us. That's the intent. That's the desire that he has. And so here's our main point. You're not supposed to do God's work without God's power. You're not supposed to do God's work without God's power. We're not doing it alone. We have Jesus with us, working in us and through us. And we are to go to him when we have these projects, when we have these impossible tasks, these things that seem like, oh, I can't do it on my own. We're supposed to bring him into the mix and let him do the miracle, and then we do the labor. It's kind of like this. Imagine you're in a NASCAR race or Formula One, whichever one you're into, and you've got to race against all these other cars. And you decide, I'm going to walk. Who's going to win? The other drivers. You don't have a car. Or imagine you're trying to build a house, And instead of using power tools, you're just going to use your bare hands. You're going to slap studs together without nails, and you're going to put sheet metal up against a wall without any screws. You're just going to use your hands, and that's it. Is that going to work? No. It's like we have these tools at our disposal. We would be foolish not to use them. If we want to get the job done, we have to get in the car or use the power tools and use those things that help us accomplish the task. You know the expression, work smarter, not harder, right? It would be foolish not to race other NASCAR drivers without a car or to build a house without power tools. And in the same way, if we try to do the work of God without Him, that's not going to work, is it? We're not doing it alone. One of our teens in our youth group just recently became a volunteer firefighter. And I've got a picture I want to put up here, Thea, if you want to go ahead. And so Zach was explaining to me a little bit about some of his training with the firefighters. And it was just amazing. But he said to me that one of the most important things when you are fighting a fire is that you go in with a buddy. And so here's Zach's on the left, and that's his buddy on the right, and they're about to go into a burning building. It's a demo one. But they're supposed to go in together. Why is that? Well, if you get into trouble, your oxygen tank starts depleting, or the flames get too hot, or you get stuck under a burning beam, you've got someone there to pull you out. You've got someone there to help you. If you go into a burning building by yourself and something goes wrong, you're dead, aren't you? You have to go in with a buddy. And in the same way, when we are doing the work of God, we're not supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to go with God. The Gospel of John describes the Holy Spirit as a helper. Someone who comes along with us and helps us do the work, whether it's ministry related or whether it's working on our own lives, he helps us accomplish the impossible. We're not supposed to do it alone. We're not supposed to do God's work without God's power. So, when we think back to some of these things that we'd love to see happen in our own lives, we want to be a good parent. We've got to bring in the Holy Spirit so that He can give us the patience and the wisdom that we are lacking to raise our kids correctly. If we want to serve our community and shelter the homeless and feed the poor and clothe the naked and do all those different things, we need to bring God with us so that He can provide the resources that we are lacking. If we want to see those changed lives, we need the Holy Spirit's power in us, working through us to help other people. If we want to beat our addiction, we need to bring in the Holy Spirit to give us the power to say no, to give us peace so that the temptation does not have power over us and we can have peace knowing that we can actually survive without those things. We want to see our loved ones saved. We need the Holy Spirit to come and open their hearts so that they would receive the gospel. That way we stop forcing it and trying to do it on our own, and we see God at work through us and not us on our own. So when we do this, we actually start to see that God provides the change and the resources and the help that we need to accomplish His will. Now you might be thinking, well, this still seems impossible. The task seems too big. The calling seems too big. That's because you're still trying to do it on your own. You need to bring in God. Bring Him into the mix. Go to Him first. If you look only to yourself and try to see how only you can provide enough food for 5,000 people, you're going to come up short. You need to bring in God to fill in the gap. with his power. Actually, let me say it this way. Only with his power can these things be done. You don't have to make it happen on your own. God never wanted that for us. He wants to do the work in us and through us. He does not want us doing it alone. You're not supposed to do God's work without his power. So, how do we do this? How do we practically ensure that we are living with God's power in us? Two things. Number one, we got to surrender all our pride that tells us we need to do things on our own. As a lot of you know, I've been renovating my own home, and I remember weeks ago sitting down with Evan, and he was asking me, like, how's it going? And I was like, I'm so tired, like, it's just dragging on and on. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. And he said to me, have you asked for help yet? And I was like, no, I'm trying to do it on my own. Because I had so much pride. I had so much pride about doing it on my own. And I had to have this realization, this teaching moment where it's like, oh, it's actually easier when you have help. And so we got to surrender our pride that says doing it on your own is better because you're the best there is. No. Surrender that pride. That is in the way of you having that more fulfilling, enriching life with Christ. When you finally let go of that pride and say, God, I want you to do it in and through me rather than me on my own. Oh, man. Things just are quite amazing. So surrender our pride. And then number two, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit's empowerment. I've often wondered how many people who say they're following Jesus have not yet actually asked for the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that this was a step that we are supposed to take in our faith journey until I started Bible college. That we are to ask for the Holy Spirit for him to come into our life and empower us to do these things. I grew up thinking I was supposed to just be really good morally and follow God's law and do things on my own. We are actually supposed to invite the Holy Spirit to help us. That's an actual step we're supposed to take. And so, if you are here and you are walking with God and you are wanting to see these miracles, see these things happen in your life, you got to get rid of that pride. And you got to ask for his power to come into the mix and help you. Because we are not supposed to do it alone. We are not supposed to do his work without his power. So get rid of your pride and ask for his power and see the miracles happen. See the crowds get fed. See God work and move in your life in deeper ways. The band's going to come and lead us in worship during this time. And as they do, we're going to have space to respond to today's message. And so if you're here today and you're wondering, what's next for me? During this time, you can sing and praise. You can come forward to these altars and just surrender those parts of your life, that pride that may be there. Encounter God and ask him, what is it you're calling me to do? And help me, God, figure out the next steps. How do I bring you into the mix, Lord? How do I make you the priority so that it's not just me on my own? Whatever you do, however you respond this morning, don't leave today without first considering what God could do in and through you, through his power, when you let him in. Let's stop doing it alone. Let's do it with him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.